Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 6. There was no room for them in the inn. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. Today and tomorrow, we're going to hear from Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church as his message is titled, Don't Miss Christmas. We'll learn oftentimes why people miss Christmas because of busyness, familiarity, and fear. And tomorrow we're going to learn about how not to miss Christmas by stopping filling our lives with less important things, by looking closely at why Jesus came, and listen to the good news of Christmas. All of today and tomorrow's broadcasts are archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
One of the things I love most about Christmas are the school Christmas pageants. And on Friday, I went to see Cole in his kindergarten Christmas pageant. And they were all wearing reindeer antlers. And it was really cute. They sang lots of cool little songs, had fun. And then at the end, the teacher of the kindergarten in that school said, "We have been learning in kindergarten how to ask good questions this year. So we're going to let each child ask one question that they've always wanted to ask Santa Claus." And then they handed the kids the mic. Now, this is dangerous. And as they go down the row, different kids are saying their favorite question. One of them said, you know, "Why do you live at the North Pole?" And another one said, "Why do you only come once a year?" And another one said, "How did you meet Mrs. Claus?" And another one said, "How do you make up your list, your Christmas list?" And they came to about the seventh or eighth little boy, and he just kind of stumbled there, and he was kind of frozen and said nothing. And the audience waited and waited and waited, and all of a sudden he goes, "I like Batman." That's great. That's great for a kindergartner. "I like Batman." And so then they handed it on, and then we kind of got into a routine where they said, "What question would you like to ask Santa Claus? What is your favorite elf? And who is your favorite reindeer? And what is your favorite day of the year? And then what is your favorite cookie?" And the person next to that thought that was good. So he goes, "What is your favorite cookie?" And then the next one said, "What is your favorite cookie?" And the next one said, "What is your favorite cookie?" And the next one said, "What is your favorite cookie?" And we're all laughing. And finally they came to one little boy and he goes, "What's your favorite beer?" I thought, this is great. Only a kindergartner could come up with this. And I love this about Christmas. Yesterday, I was reading an article about how some of the sports teams, pro sports teams, are going to have to travel on Christmas Day. And so they have made advanced preparations so they, quote, don't miss Christmas. And that phrase just caught my mind, don't miss Christmas. And one of the players said, "No game is worth missing Christmas for." And I began to noodle on that in my mind and think about, how is it possible to miss Christmas in these days? Christmas is the most advertised and commercialized holiday in the world, bar none. Nothing else even comes close to the amount of attention Christmas gets. It gets an entire month. It is the most anticipated holiday. It is the most celebrated holiday of the year. And you would think that it would be hard to miss Christmas, because for the last month, you have been face to face with Christmas decorations, Christmas lighting, Christmas parties, Christmas cards, Christmas carols and hymns in every store, Christmas gifts, Christmas shopping, Christmas carolers, Christmas pageants, Christmas parties, and on and on and on. How in the world could anybody miss Christmas in this day and age? Most of all, you've been bombarded constantly by Christmas TV specials and Christmas advertisements. Is it possible to even miss Christmas? And the answer is yes. And you can miss it for the same three reasons most people missed Christmas at the very first one, years ago. The same three reasons they missed Christmas, most people did then, are the same we missed today. So what I want to do this weekend is I want us to look at the three most common reasons people have Christmas all around and still miss it. They don't get it. They don't get the benefit, really, of it. They don't understand the blessing of it. They know what happens. They just don't know the benefits of it. And then I want us to look at how can you ensure that you don't miss Christmas this next week. All right, let's get right into it. Three reasons why people miss Christmas are found in the first Christmas story. And the first one is this. If you want to take a note, write this down. Busyness. Busyness is the first reason that we can miss Christmas. This, by the way, was the innkeeper's mistake at the very first Christmas. Now, you know the story that in the last week of her pregnancy, Mary and Joseph have to go to their hometown of Bethlehem. They live in a city called Nazareth in Israel, and they have to go to their hometown of Bethlehem, a little tiny town, where they are going to be involved in a census for taxation with the Roman government. And when they get there, as they get to Bethlehem, Mary goes into labor. Her water breaks, she's ready to deliver, and Joseph tries to check her into the local Holiday Inn. And the innkeeper comes out and says, sorry, no vacancies. We're all filled up. There's no room in the inn, and we're all filled up. Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 7 tells it like this. So Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in clothes or cloths and placed him in a manger. By the way, what's a manger? A manger is simply an old English word for a feed trough. That's all it is. It's a bucket or a basket or a box, a wooden box that you would put grain in for cows and donkeys and other livestock. And so when Mary lays her baby in a manger, it's not something fancy. It's a feed box for cattle. It's about as humble a birth as you can have. She places him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, circle the phrase, no room. There was no room for them in the inn. Now, from the innkeeper's perspective, this is actually a good thing because his business is booming. If you own a motel, you want it sold out. You want it no vacancy. You want no empty rooms every night. And he's thinking, this is good. Business is good this Christmas. Of course, it wasn't Christmas yet. But he's saying, this is going good because they're having this census. A lot of out-of-towners have come back to town, and they're looking for a place to stay, and he's all booked up. So it's good news for him. And he has no use for this little baby or this pregnant woman, and he certainly has no idea who he is snubbing. Now, the point is this. Busyness with his own business caused him to miss the greatest opportunity in his life. The Son of God was going to be born in his inn. Can you imagine the PR power of that? You could put up a sign, Son of God, born here. And you would be sold out in your inn for the rest of your life. He missed literally the greatest opportunity. God was coming to earth in human form. He could have been a part of that. He could have been a part of that history. But he missed it because he was busy with his business. Are you too busy with your business to make room for Jesus this Christmas? I'm not talking about your house. I'm talking about your schedule. I'm talking about your thoughts. I'm talking about your time, your budget, your plans. Are you so busy with everything else, you don't have any room? There's no room for Jesus in your life, in your heart, in your mind. You could be so busy at Christmas time, you miss meeting God, and he is being born right next door in the stable, and you aren't a part of it. That's the first reason people miss Christmas, busyness. Second reason people miss Christmas is familiarity. Familiarity. And what I mean by that is you're so familiar with the Christmas story that it doesn't inspire you anymore. It doesn't cause any awe anymore. It doesn't amaze you anymore. You've heard it all before. You have celebrated Christmas your entire life. You know the story of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. You know the story of the shepherds and the wise men. You know the story of the angels singing glory to God in the highest. You know all that. Been there, done that. I know the stories. I know the songs. I know the traditions. And so I'm jaded. I'm bored. I lack enthusiasm, and really my whole attitude toward Christmas is ho-hum, ho-hum. You can become so familiar with something, it doesn't amaze you anymore. You miss the beauty because you think you understand it, and you take it for granted, and you see it, but you don't do anything about it. Now, this mistake, the mistake of familiarity, was the mistake of another group of people at the first Christmas, and that is the religious leaders of Jerusalem. It is interesting to me that God is coming to earth in human form, the Son of God is being born, and not a single religious person is invited. I kind of like that. Not one religious authority, not one priest, one scribe, one theologian, one philosopher, none of them are invited to the party. They all miss it, and they all miss it because they're so familiar with the story. Now, let me give you the picture. The Bible tells us that wise men from the east had seen some kind of star. We don't actually know what it was. From when they were in the east and started heading toward Israel. And they had looked up all of the prophecies and they knew that the Savior of the world was to be born in Israel, but they didn't know where. Now, we don't really know who these wise men were. We don't even know where they're from. Some people think they're from the Far East, like China or India. Some people think they're from the Middle East. Some people actually think they're from Saudi Arabia. We don't know where these wise men were from. All we know is that they were scholars, that they studied the stars, that they paid attention, and when they saw something unusual, they said, let's go check it out. That's what made them wise. They said, let's go check it out. And so these wise men, on this long journey, some far place away, arrive in Jerusalem, and they go and they ask for a meeting with the king, and because they're famous themselves, the king Herod of Israel says, sure. So he has a meeting with them, and they walk in, and the first question they ask is, so where is this Savior of the world, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God, where is this baby supposed to be born? Now Herod, we'll come back to this guy in just a minute, hasn't the foggiest idea. King of Israel, he doesn't know diddly squat about this. And so he calls in the middle of the night, all of the religious leaders and scholars of Jerusalem. And he has them all come together and he says, okay, teach me about this. There's a king of the Jews to be born and he's going to be born here. Where is he going to be born? When is he going to be born? Blah, 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 blah. And he asks all these questions. And the religious scholars knew exactly what he was talking about. They had been waiting for this for hundreds of years. They had been discussing it, debating it, detailing it, dissecting it, discussing it for hundreds of years. So they know what's going on. And the Bible says it like this in Matthew chapter 2. King Herod called a meeting of all the leading priests and the teachers of the law, and he asked them where Christ would be born. And they answered, in the town of Bethlehem in Judea. The prophet Micah wrote about this in the scriptures. Now, I want you to notice some interesting thing about that passage. A lot of people in Israel at this time were familiar with what was about to happen. They knew. They had been waiting for hundreds of years for this Savior of the world to be born. He had been promised, and they'd been waiting and waiting and waiting. They knew exactly where he was going to be born. And said, oh, yeah, Micah, the book of Micah tells us. Micah chapter 5, verse 4 says the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, will be born in Bethlehem. Everybody knew this. They knew all the details. But even though they knew all the details, they're very familiar, as I'm talking about, with this. They're unimpressed, and they're unconcerned. And they go, yeah, here's what it's supposed to happen. And they're talking about it, but they don't even care enough to go check it out themselves. We've seen it all before. Now, here's an astounding thing. Foreign dignitaries come a long distance, maybe from all the way from China, we don't know, come all the way to Israel, and then they ask for a private meeting with the king. And the king then calls you up as a religious scholar in the middle of the night, says, get in here, and asks you all this information. You figure something's going on here. And so the dignitaries show up. There's an unusual star in the sky. The king calls them in for an emergency meeting. And yet none of the religious scholars did enough or cared enough to even go to Bethlehem and check it out. Do you know how far Bethlehem is from Jerusalem? 5 miles. They wouldn't even go 5 miles to check it out. They were so familiar with the story, and they were so into all of their debating and their theology, they wouldn't even bother to check it out for themselves. They would rather debate the Savior than go see the Savior. Now, that's what I call jaded. That's what I call apathetic, unconcerned. The familiarity, their lack of curiosity is stunning. And this can happen to you if you've grown up in church all your life. You've studied the Bible all your life. You've gone to church all your life. You went to Mass all your life, whatever. You heard the story of Christmas over and over. You're jaded, and you can miss it. You can miss it because you think, oh, I've seen it all. See, for background, it's for centuries, they had been waiting for the Savior, but there's now no room in their theology for God to show up. All they wanted to do was debate it. You see, Jesus is not about religion. I couldn't care less about religion. I'm not into religion. I'm into a relationship. Jesus did not come for religion. In fact, he came for the opposite of religion. He said, you don't need rules, regulations, and rituals and restrictions. What you need is a relationship to God. You need a friendship with God. I came, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, so you could get to know me without all that other rigmarole. And what had happened is over the centuries, as they kept waiting for the Savior of the world to show up, they started adding all these traditions on, more and more traditions and traditions and traditions and traditions, and they added all, and all of it, by the time Jesus arrives, over time, people are paying more attention to the traditions than they are to God. Does that sound vaguely familiar? We have so many traditions around Christmas now, and they keep adding all. I mean, there's Santa Claus, and then there's Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, and there's Frosty the snowman, and now there's the elf on the shelf. And, you know, they keep adding new traditions, and they're just piling on. And, well, let's make this a tradition. Let's make this a tradition. Let's make this one. And nobody's even talking about the reason for the season, why God came to earth. And what big difference does it make? And what difference can it make in your life for the rest of your life? And if you don't know that, then you're no better than these religious leaders of 2,000 years ago who wouldn't walk 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem just to check it out. You see, today, a lot of intelligent people will participate in every one of the Christmas traditions. They'll put up lights, and they'll have parties, and they'll send cards, and they'll light a Christmas tree, and they'll write gifts, and they'll do all, they will do every single tradition, yet show no concern at all for checking out why we do all this stuff in the first place. It's so that God could have a relationship with you, and you could have a relationship with God. And if you miss that, you have missed Christmas, even if you put up a tree. You see, you can put up Christmas lights and still be in the dark. The Bible says it like this. Look at this verse on the screen. Ephesians 4:18. Their minds are dark and they're stubborn, so they have missed out on the life that comes from God. Their minds are in the dark. They just don't get it. Why? Busyness and familiarity. Now, there's a third reason why most people missed Christmas. The day after Jesus was born, it was not a headline. It was in no paper. Nobody announced it. Most people missed it 2,000 years ago. But the third reason they missed it was because of fear. Fear is the third thing that will cause you to miss the true meaning of Christmas this year. Fear. And it is a sad fact that some people actually fear Christmas. They're afraid of it. And that's why they fight it. They fight Christmas. They fight nativity scenes. It's why they oppose it. It's why they do lawsuits against it, because they're afraid of the message of Christmas. And this, by the way, was not the innkeeper's problem, not the religious people's problem. It was King Herod's problem. Now, Herod is a very wily, crazy guy. He's the king of Israel, but he's actually a Roman citizen, and he's of Arab descent. So he's not Jewish. And he had come in and overtaken the city of Jerusalem and appointed himself as king. And the Jews hated Herod. They hated him. And yet he was given the title King of the Jews, and he was an Arab, working under Roman authority to suppress the Jews. And the background of Herod is this, is that he was paranoid. He was a very crazy, I mean literally crazy, sick, crazy man. And he was afraid of Christmas because he was afraid of anybody who might threaten his kingdom, who might threaten his reign, who might depose him as king of the Jews. And so he was so paranoid, let me explain this, anybody who got close to him he thought might overthrow him, he had that person killed. He had his wife killed because he thought she might overthrow him. He had his mother killed because he thought she might overthrow him. He had two of his sons killed early on in life because he thought they might. He had his brother-in-law killed. 5 days before Herod died, he had the rest of his children who were in the area killed because he didn't want any of them to succeed him. And he had all kinds of prominent Jews in the nation of Israel rounded up and put in prison. And he said, the moment I die, I want you to kill all of them because I know that when I die, nobody's going to weep over my death. But when they die, people will weep. And so at least somebody will be weeping on the day I die. He was nuts. Now, when the wise men show up from wherever it is, India or China or wherever, when the wise men show up and say, where is this baby born to be king of the Jews? Herod goes ballistic. He goes nuclear. And he is just going crazy, going, we got to find this guy because I'm not letting anybody take my place. And so in an attempt to wipe out all of the competition, Herod makes a rule that says every baby born, a boy born in Bethlehem in 2 years must be murdered. And it was called the Massacre of the Innocents. He was that strange. He was very, very afraid of Christmas happening. Now, you don't have that kind of fear, but I know a lot of people who are afraid to get to know God. And they have three fundamental fears in their heart. If I really open up my life to Christ, I will lose my freedom. Can't do all the things I want to do. I will lose my fun. I won't get to do anything fun anymore. And I will become a fanatic. I will walk around in polyester pants with big hair and say, baby, you know, and act like some religious nutcase. Listen, when you invite Christ into your life, he doesn't make you more religious. He makes you more human. St. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. You're not really living. You're not really living. You're just existing if you're not connected to the Creator who made you. See, the bottom line is this. You were made by God, and you were made for God. And until you understand that, your life is never going to make sense. You can fight it, try to find life in making money, having fun, having a great golf game, pleasure, passion, possession, position, sex, status, salary, success. You can try all different things to fill that empty void, that hole in your heart, but it's a God-shaped hole, and only God can fill it because you were made by God, and you were made for God. And until you understand that, your life is not going to make sense. The only reason you're alive is God made you to love you. He wants you to learn to love him back. God knows everything about you. You know almost nothing about God. God wants you to know him. God wants you to have a friendship with him. And that's why he came to earth in human form. So we could go, oh, that's what God is like. That's what he wants us to be like. And so he says, I want you to get rid of your fear. Bottom line on Herod is that Herod's deepest fear was this. I don't want anybody to be in control except me. Does that sound vaguely familiar? I don't want anybody to be in control except me. I don't want anybody else to be king. I want to be king. And you know what? That's why a lot of people fear God, because the bottom line is they want to be God. I want to run my own life. It's pride. I want to be my own God. I want to call my own shots. I don't want to have to serve anybody. I just want to serve myself. I want to be my own God. It's the Herod mentality. I'm not going to let anybody else be king in my life, not even God who made me. And that fear caused him to say, I don't have any interest. Herod, the king, was 5 miles away from where Jesus was. The king could have gone and visited the King of Kings, but he didn't. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, here's what it says. Some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. You can know all kinds of other stuff, but if you don't know God, you missed the purpose of your life because you weren't put on this planet to mark things off your to-do list. You were put here to get to know God and to prepare for being with him forever and eternity. So how do I not miss Christmas? If busyness and familiarity and apathy and unconcern And if fear or anxiety of what's going to happen if I really open up my life to God, if these things keep me from knowing Christ, from understanding the true meaning of Christmas, how do I not miss Christmas? Well, let me give you a little formula.
Oh, listening friend, that formula will be looked at on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, the Wednesday edition, as we'll continue with this message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church titled, Don't Miss Christmas. A sneak preview, stop filling your life with less important things, look closely at why Jesus came, and listen to the good news of Christmas. I hope you can join us at the same time tomorrow. If you missed a portion of the broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.